Hey, this is Chris. Today we are going to be doing a dental practice market update. I just want to go over and talk about some of the things that I've been seeing on the market, some of the trends that I've been seeing, and how I think the future of this industry is actually going to be looking based upon where I'm at right now. So the main headline that I want to put across here is that buying a practice is becoming more competitive. It's becoming more difficult to buy a practice than it was 5 to 10 years ago. And there are a lot of different market factors that are leading to this. I still think it's a great time to buy a practice. It always is a smart decision to buy a dental practice as a buyer, but you need to be a little bit more careful now than you had to even just 5, 10 years ago, because things are becoming more difficult. A few different market factors are leading to this. After COVID, a lot of dentists, especially the baby boomer generation age, the largest cohort of dentists that own dental practices, a lot of them retired between the years of 2020 and 2024. And so if you were on the market during those years to buy a dental practice, you had more options than there currently are available on the market, just because there were more people retiring. Now, of course, there are still plenty of older dentists that are planning on selling their practice here in the next few years, but we're starting to come down on that bell curve. There was a time that there were more sellers. Now there's fewer sellers, and it's a cycle. Another factor that's contributing here is there are a higher number of dentists who want to become practice owners, largely because there are more younger dentists. Over the last few years, a lot of new dental schools have opened. We've seen the rise in private dental schools that charge really, really high tuitions in order to cover the cost of putting these dentists through school. And as a result, there have been a lot more dentists entering the market. Now, that trend is probably about to change, and I want to talk about that in a minute. But as of right now, there are more dentists entering the market than there were before. So there is more competition to buy practices, and there are fewer practices on the market than there were a few years ago because there were fewer dentists that are retiring. One additional factor that obviously needs to be taken into consideration is the dental service organizations, the DSOs, the corporate dental groups that are also buying practices. Now, I have seen, especially over the last 5 years, a big decrease in the number of the larger DSOs, like Heartland Dental, for instance, that are wanting to buy practices from dentists or partner up with dentists. Now, especially Heartland and some of the larger corporations, they are now instead deciding to do startups rather than acquiring practices from existing dentists. Now, there's a couple different reasons that these companies, these larger companies, are doing this. It's because they have the resources to get a brand new building. Oftentimes they will build the building from the ground up. They will own the real estate, or sometimes these DSOs, someone else at the company, the owner potentially will have another business that they're involved with that will buy the real estate. Dentists are extremely low risk tenants, and they usually sign very long leases. And so if you can build a building, and so if you're a DSO like Heartland and you can build a building and then put a dental office in there, i.e. Heartland's own dental office, and then sell this real estate off to an investment group that's potentially related to the company, there's a lot of money to be made there. So let's get back on track here. Why are companies like Heartland doing de novo practices, new practices, instead of buying existing practices like they used to? The main reason is because there's a higher supply of young, new dentists who are willing to take a pay cut in order to work at these associate jobs. Oftentimes, new dentists working at associate jobs are willing to take significantly lower pay than more experienced dentists. We can actually see this in data released by the ADA just recently, that the income for dentists, when adjusted for inflation, has been decreasing every year for a couple of years now. And the reason primarily is because these new, younger dentists are taking jobs at DSOs for reduced pay. When a corporation buys a dental practice from a dentist, the corporation is not able to work at that office. The corporation is not a dentist. So they usually have to require the seller to stay on for a period of time and continue working at that office after they buy it. Which, if you have a dentist who's been out of school for 30 years, you buy that practice, that dentist's expectations for pay are going to be a lot higher than a dentist who just graduated from school and is willing to work for $150,000 a year or something like that. Oftentimes these DSOs, especially if they're de novo, they're brand new offices that just opened up, they're going to be seeing a huge number of new patients, and they're going to be zero existing patients at the practice because it's a new practice. If you do new patient exams all day long, you're going to be working really hard and you're not going to be making that much money. The difference between a new patient and an existing patient is huge. New patients are usually a lot more difficult. On average, obviously there's good new patients, but on average, the best patients are the patients that have been going to see the same dentist for 10, 15 years. They have this established relationship. They show up every 6 months for their cleaning. As soon as a crown or whatever needs done is recommended, they say, "Doc, let's just go ahead and do it." On the other hand, these new patients, oftentimes they're the patients who haven't been to the dentist in a number of years. They're tentative about doing treatment. Maybe they can't afford it. Maybe they're afraid to get treatment done. Maybe they just don't really value their dental health as much as someone who's been going to the dentist every 6 months would value their dental health. And so you get these companies like Heartland and Aspen, Pacific Dental. Sometimes they'll advertise $5 exams, free exams, $20 exams. And these dentists who are fresh out of school will spend an entire day doing new patient exams for $5 per exam. And it might take them 20, 30 minutes to do this new patient exam. It's just not something that an older dentist who has more respect for themselves, they're not going to want to do that kind of work. And so for Heartland, they say, "We'll just do a startup, get these young dentists who are willing to do 20 new patient exams a day. And they might only make $150,000, but it's fine, because they're willing to do it. And as soon as they leave, we have a fresh supply of new graduates coming out of school the next year, and they'll take over." And you get this churn where associate dentists will work at these offices for 6 months, a year, and the next dentist will come in, and the next dentist will come in. It's a completely different model than what we saw 15, 20 years ago with DSOs. Basically, the dentists are disposable. These schools are pumping out so many new dentists that you can just churn through. It's a completely different business model than before. The interesting thing, though, is a lot of these dentists who are working for these DSOs eventually decide they want to become owners. And so I'm seeing a lot of dentists wanting to leave their associate jobs to become practice owners. And that's contributing to more demand for dental practices. So we have less interest in the large organizations to buy dental practices. We have more interest in the newer graduate, younger dentists who were at associate jobs wanting to buy dental practices. In the past, the solo dentists would buy the smaller practices and the corporations would buy the larger practices. But right now, and here's the opportunity that I don't want you to miss. Now is an incredible time, if you are one of those solo dentists, to try to buy a larger practice. At least right now. Corporations seem less interested in buying practices. Now, there are medium-sized and small DSOs that are still interested in buying dental practices. And so I'm not saying there's no competition from DSOs. They're still using some of the more outdated techniques that Heartland and Pacific were using 15, 20 years ago, and they are still trying to buy the larger practices. It used to be that you didn't even have the opportunity to buy these larger practices because they would instantly sell to some of these larger DSOs. Now, my prediction is that there's going to be more and more opportunities for solo dentists to buy some of these larger practices. Now, why would you as a solo dentist want to buy a larger practice? Well, because larger practices have more patients at them, which means you're going to be able to do more treatment and you're going to be able to make more money at these offices. Also, it opens up the opportunity for you to hire an associate to work at the office with you. So how do you as a solo buyer set yourself apart from the small and medium-sized DSOs that are still wanting to buy the larger practices? How do you set yourself apart? Well, the small and medium-sized DSOs, just like the big DSOs, they're still not a dentist. Like, there might be a dentist who owns the small or medium-sized DSO, but chances are that dentist already is working at another office. Oftentimes you get a dentist, they have their own office, and they want to have a second, a third, a fourth office. And they'll buy another office with the intention of having an associate work there. But keep in mind, for a dentist who only owns three or four practices, it's a huge risk that if there's no one working at that office and this office is losing money, that could be very, very detrimental to their finances. When you are a large corporation like Aspen Dental, you can afford for roughly 10 to 15% of your offices on any given day to not have a dentist there. But when you are a small DSO or someone who just owns a few different practices, you cannot afford to have an office without a dentist there. And so oftentimes when these medium to small DSOs make an offer on a practice from a dentist, they are going to require that dentist to stay on for 4 to 5, sometimes 6 years at that practice. They want a guarantee that they're going to have someone working at the office after they purchase it. So if you are a solo buyer, here is your shortcut to find an amazing practice for sale. So if we look at all of these trends and all the different things that are happening in the market, what is the opportunity for you as a solo dentist to buy the best possible practice where you're going to be making the most money right now as the market stands today? You're probably going to pay something like $1 to $1.5 million for a practice of this size. But here's the key. You need to find a dentist who does not want to keep working, a dentist who wants to retire or at least dramatically cut back on their schedule. You can come in as a buyer. And because you are a dentist who is going to be working at that office, you don't have to require the seller to stay on for 5 years like the DSOs are going to require that seller to stay on for 5 years. This is your superpower. You can buy practices that DSOs can't buy because you are able to work at that office. You want to work at that office. That's why you as a solo dentist are buying this office. The bad news is that there is more competition because more dentists are looking to buy practices. The good news is that the larger DSOs are starting to move away from acquisitions, and the smaller to medium DSOs, they are requiring the dentist to stay on for 5 years. That is your superpower right now. This might change anytime now, but right now your superpower, find one of those larger practices where the dentist is ready to retire. You go in, you buy that practice, you start working there, and you have a full schedule for you to treatment plan on. I've seen dentists go from making $200,000 as an associate to make $500,000, $700,000 their first year of ownership if they buy the right practice. You have to make sure you're buying the right practice for this to work. If you buy the wrong practice, it can be worse than if you stayed at your associate job. The best thing you can do as a dentist is become a practice owner. The middle case scenario is you work at an associate job, and the worst case scenario is you buy a dental practice. So it's the best and the worst. The thing is, if you buy the right practice, you're setting yourself up for some incredible success. If you buy the wrong practice, just stay at your associate job. It's not worth it. It is so important which practice you buy. You need every advantage you can get in this market. It's becoming more and more competitive, but if you do this right, if you go in prepared, you can outsmart the other dentists that are looking to buy practices. You can outmaneuver the DSOs because you're not going to require the dentist to stay on, and you can be incredibly successful if you do this right.